Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. How you doing? This is Genuinely Grace, and I'm going to officially call this week's episode anyway, the happy edition, because we're just going to focus on JOMO, right? The joy of missing out. I mean, I talk a lot, don't I, about, you know, all the agonies that we go through and just how miserable it is when you're drinking and you're drinking more than you want to. And even, you know, we talk a lot about the early weeks and how tough it can sometimes be. But I thought I'd dedicate this episode to absolute pure positivity. How does that sound? Because, you know, I've had my fair share of stuff going down this week. I'm sure lots of people have. But I've also had a couple of insights into that kind of underlining the thing that I talk about all the time, which is, you know, where your focus goes, that's where the energy flows. You get more of what it is you focus on. So why not let's focus on that positivity piece? And this was prompted for me by a couple of fabulous posts in our Sober Club community. And I asked the posters, the members, if they were willing for me to share them. And they both said, yeah, absolutely. Very, very happy for you to share. So I'm going to actually read you these posts because I think you'll really love them. They sum up so much of what so many of us feel, I think, really. And also, I think this is very relevant because of the fact that, you know, we've had a bit of sunshine and you know what we're like here in the UK. One bit of sunshine and we immediately make those associations with alcohol. Well, certainly if it's early days. So these posts will hopefully help you when it comes to you know, that kind of that old association with holidays and sunshine and the kind of the assumption that we need to drink to be able to enjoy ourselves in the sun or when we're traveling. And to support all of this, my guest is Carolina from Euphoric. So you can't get a better word than that, can you really? Which sums it all up. Anyways, I'm going to start with this post that kicked a lot of this these thoughts off earlier in the week by one of our members, Debs Davison, who's actually trained to be a sober coach now as well. I've got another training coming up end of the year if you're interested. But anyway, Debs did this lovely post with a very fabulous, funky picture of her in shades and festival gear. And she said, I'm just leaving the Isle of Wight Festival after a full-on four-day weekend surrounded by alcohol. I'm going to admit I was a little nervous. I thought it might prove to be a challenge and that FOMO would bite. How wrong I was. It started with my first trip of many on the festival bus. A funny guy dressed in his gear was on top form and had us all in stitches. He was hilarious. It was a warm evening. Everyone was in good spirits. But as the night went on, things changed. I don't need to fill you in on that. Dancing turned into staggering, etc. Anyway, we got back on the bus at the end of the night and saw the guy from the Journey Inn. His festival wig and flamboyant flower necklace had gone. And he sat at the front of the bus with his head down. He was a completely different guy. All the joy had gone. The bus had a very different vibe on the way home. I looked around and thought, I am so grateful that I don't do that anymore. Throughout the whole festival, I was fully in the moment, danced my little socks off and had bags of energy right to the end. I was up early to enjoy a morning run along the beaches, leaving what felt like the whole island in bed, sleeping off their hangovers. Hello, JOMO. In case you don't know, that means the joy of missing out. I'm posting this for anyone in their early days. If you told me 18 months ago that I would be happy to dance along at a festival all the way through without any booze, I would have said, shut the front door. I am proud to be here, nearly 18 months alcohol free. The group and the support of Genuinely Grace got me to look at life through another lens. I went along to a Sober by the Sea day and I came away with a completely different mindset. I'm posting this for some encouragement for you. If you're thinking you could never get to this stage, believe me, you can. Isn't that fabulous? It just absolutely sums up that wonderful vibe of you know, having fun at a festival. And yeah, you know, just how different the bus is on the way in to on the way back, right? And then there was another post just that which just followed a couple of days later from the lovely Elspeth, who said, I haven't posted, life's been busy, but I'm off to London to visit my gorgeous wee girl. And I'm so excited because we're going to see Elton John in Hyde Park. He's putting on the show for me, so it'd be rude not to. To get there, I have to fly. She lives in Scotland. So she says, going to the airport was always a treat for me, or so I thought in my drinking days, because I could drink champagne regardless of the time of day. Now I realise it's just a habit controlled by an addictive drug. In the early days of my sobriety, I was petrified to go to the airport in case I was triggered. And then COVID came along, travel was cancelled, so the issue was removed for me. Fast forward to today, my 2 years and 6 month milestone. I am loving being at the airport. I even queued to get into All Bar One because they have the best alcohol free cocktails and they're now serving Liars. Wow. Just fantastic. So I kept the ritual and changed the ingredients. One thing that I really noticed was how calm I was. And then she goes on to say there were lots of stressful situations getting through security involving too many liquids, but I didn't lose my shit or my liquids. I calmly dealt with everything. I seriously did not recognise myself. We really are the lucky ones. If you're early days or months, you got to trust me, keep going. If you feel like you're walking through a hurricane, you will come out the other side. You'll know, you'll feel it within you. Just keep going. I can't tell you when, it just will. Oh, and by the way, the lady next to me on the plane asked me how old my daughter is, and I said 27. She asked how old I was when I had her. She said, you must have been a teenager because you don't look old enough. I will take that. Sobriety is the best anti-aging product. Isn't that fabulous? I mean, that those two posts just sum up just the absolute joy. When you get past that initial phase, I swear it is joy. That, you know, it really is that joy of missing out. Why would you want to be part of that absolute misery and be that guy on the bus home? Why? Why do we put ourselves through this when we can actually experience, you know, life in its fullest? So on that is the perfect introduction to Carolina.
I'm so delighted to get to chat to Carolina again, author of Euphoric. Carolina, I want you to pronounce your surname for us.
Oh, thank you so much, Jamie. It's 12 letters long, lots of consonants. It's Jodkowalska.
I love it. Excellent name. Now, we spoke a long time ago when I think you interviewed me, didn't you, on your podcast? That was a long time ago.
One of my first guests, 2019 at least.
Oh, amazing. So lots has been happening for you since then, not least the book coming out, which is fabulous. Wonderful name. I mean, I'm all over being euphoric about all of this. It's great. But just before we get into that, then just tell us a bit about your story, a bit about your background.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so I was someone who, you know, when it came to alcohol, started obviously drinking in college, grad school, and that was a pretty heavy party lifestyle I had. But by the time I'm in my mid-20s and late 20s, I try to grow up, right? And my drinking really becomes something that I do on the weekend. So I live this really healthy lifestyle Monday through Thursday. I have the green juice. I have the workouts. I have the yoga classes. I have the meditation. And then on the weekend, I overdrink with my friends or socializing or at home watching a movie. And I just wake up on Monday morning feeling like shit, feeling super low emotionally as well. And just keep looking around me and asking myself, is everyone else feeling like this? What's going on? I didn't hear anyone talking about it back then, obviously, right? So I keep myself in this pattern for years and years and years. And there was always this little voice that told me, Carolina, you were meant for more. You were meant for so much more. And I think I didn't want to change for so long, not because I was so attached to alcohol, but because I was so married to the belief that normal adults drink.
And I know, it's just incredible, isn't it? I mean, as you say, nobody else was talking about that. And yet we now know that there were thousands, if not millions, of people feeling exactly the same way as you.
Exactly. And so, you know, listening to that intuition was really hard, but I finally did by taking a break from alcohol. I did Dry January back in 2018. And that's really when my eyes were open to this brand new way of living that I fell in love with. And, you know, not only obviously do I feel physically better, do I feel emotionally and mentally better, but something really changes in the beliefs I have about my life. Because alcohol was always the thing that told me I can't trust myself. I'm not very worthy of, you know, following my word or capable of going after things. It almost became like this excuse in my life. Like, I always wanted to write a book, for example, and yet it was so much easier to just open a bottle of wine than write the next great American novel. Yeah. And so it was like a way that I just paused my biggest goals and dreams and settled. And I didn't know all of this back then. Back then, you know, it's just doing what everyone else is doing, having a good time or bad time or whatever. But, you know, when I removed alcohol from my life, all of a sudden, all of those things became clear, that there was really nothing stopping me but myself to go after the life I've always wanted. And so that's what happened pretty quickly for me in a few short months, alcohol free. I decided to launch the business I always wanted to launch. I decided to write the book I always wanted to write, at least the first draft. I decided to just change my life so much so that I wasn't looking for alcohol to give me some little buzz, but like that I literally got high from my own life. Oh, and now we're like 4 years later and I'm like the published author I always wanted to be. I have the multiple six-figure business I always wanted to have. I have no boss. I travel whenever I want. I'm sitting here right now in Europe, you know, dream come true to spend the whole summer here with no ties to some corporate job or anything like that. All because I decided to believe in myself enough. And I think the confidence I got from ditching alcohol is literally the confidence I got to go after all of this other stuff.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful? I mean, you really sum up this thing that I talk about all the time, you know, that life is so much better without the booze. And you know, as we say, I talk so often about sober club members who I've seen just step out of their comfort zone, finally become brave to do the things they've always wanted to do. I mean, I'm guessing that, you know, when you were still drinking, you just didn't have the impetus. You didn't have the mojo to get the book written, right?
No, I mean, and what's so funny about that is that I had wanted to be an author since I was a little girl. Like this was a desire I'd always had in my life. And I remember I used to write a lot when I was a kid. I would write short stories and poems and I would journal a lot. And then all of a sudden I go to college, I start drinking and my writing just dries up. I just can't write anymore. And the entire decade that I'm drinking, I still never lose the desire to write a book. So I remember I would have these New Year's resolutions that this was the year I was going to write. And my New Year's resolution was pretty simple, like just write for 30 minutes once a week, you know, not that big of a deal. And yet I never did it. I did it maybe the first week in January, and then I totally gave up. And it just became so much easier to believe that this is just never going to happen for me. It's just, I just don't have what it takes.
What's interesting though, just to interrupt you there just for a second, is we don't recognize at that point that it's alcohol holding us back. Well, I certainly didn't.
Yeah. It was just so much easier too, to like those feelings of like, I think this is hard to say, this might be a little, you know, direct, but those feelings of wasted potential, they are painful. Yeah. And we subconsciously use alcohol to numb those feelings without even knowing it and excusing it away as, oh, this is just what socializing is. But that's what I used alcohol for. It was literally, I was bored, I was restless, I was unfulfilled. And it was so much easier to look forward to happy hour than actually to make the changes in my day to day to make my life more fulfilling. And so, you know, the confidence I got to actually, like you said, get the mojo, get the impetus. It was like, wait a minute, if I could do this, why not that? And I had to change a lot of beliefs about who I thought was successful, who I thought had a business, who I thought could write a book. But I kept just pushing the limits of what I believed was possible. And I've really recognized that literally everything is in my mind. It's not the external circumstances that keep us stuck in 99% of the cases. It is literally our own mindset blocks about what we believe we can do. Yeah. And so now I'm so passionate about not only helping women ditch alcohol, that's great and dandy, but I think it serves a much bigger purpose. I think it literally is the way that you find your calling in life and that you really rediscover, what do you want to do on this planet? Who are you? What do you want? These are huge questions we often do not ask ourselves. That I think is the most important thing we could ask ourselves. And that's where the clarity, the intuition, the confidence, the courage, all of these things, these muscles we're building as we're going alcohol free, they lend themselves to this much bigger answering.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And I do think that, you know, when you were drinking, it keeps us small, doesn't it? Keeps us trapped. and you're right. The trap is only of our own making. It really is. It's interesting because you've probably heard me say on podcasts, but I'm trained in family constellation work. And it's been amazing doing some of that work with people where they've started to sort of entangle some of the things that have been going on for them and holding them back. And sometimes in constellations, we have someone represent alcohol, you know, like the energy of alcohol. And of course, it just is. In most cases, there is nothing, you know, it's not active. It's not the alcohol. It's our choice to drink it, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, so we genuinely, many of us have this kind of voice in our head, you know, it's the alcohol that made me do it. It's the alcohol that made me talk like that. No, the alcohol is, it's your choice. It's your choice to take that drug, isn't it, really? So, yeah, you're absolutely right. And you know, good for you that you did this when you were young. You didn't wait till you're old like me. And what's the situation then with your, you know, when you first sort of made this decision and got on with it then, what about your friendship group? Because, you know, as a younger woman, that is going to be a part of the deal, right? You've got to kind of face up to the friends. That can be scary for a lot of people.
Yeah, of course. And that's something that, you know, really can trip up a lot of my clients is like, there comes a point where you change the habit at home. It's easy enough to not put alcohol up to your lips. But wearing an alcohol-free identity in public is a whole other thing.
Yeah.
And I have to say for me personally, you know, the thing that stopped me for so long from taking a break from alcohol was the friends, was the social aspect of it, was like, what am I going to say? How am I going to be able to manage not fitting in? Am I going to feel deprived when other people are drinking? And it was always these hangups that literally prevented me from even taking the first step. And so as I go on my alcohol-free journey, when I'm feeling so amazing and my confidence is going up, I don't know what it was, but I just decided that those things are not going to be hangups for me anymore. And I literally found the solution to everything that I thought was, you know, a self-imposed kind of a challenge. You know, so with my friends, like I was just honest with them. I told them, I don't really like how alcohol makes me feel. And I love how I feel while I'm taking this break. And guess how many of them completely related? Like nobody wakes up after drinking feeling like a million bucks.
No, absolutely. Like,
right. Yeah. And so like, it actually got us closer together because I was finally like calling the elephant out in the room. And, you know, as I started sharing what I'm really interested in and where my vision was going, you know, towards growth and towards launching a business and writing a book, it started like elevating our conversations more towards our dreams and growth instead of just this maybe shallower small talk. So in a weird way, I think some of us got closer. Now there's always probably the one toxic friend that's not going to accept it, but that's their own mess. That's their own kind of mirroring that they can't stand to see. And it's so incredible. A lot of my friends actually were inspired to ditch alcohol themselves or take breaks, but some of them that never even got to that point with alcohol, they were actually inspired to launch their own businesses or to leave like jobs that didn't make them happy. Like it just elevated everything.
Yeah.
When one person really claims the power of like, I get to decide what I want to do with my life and really embodies that, it creates this ripple effect to other people when they're like, oh, I could do that too. Mm. I mean, for example, I'm in Europe right now. And it's a dream come true, but I had to like leave behind my dog. I had to figure out how to get him taken care of. My husband had to quit his job. There were all these hurdles I had to overcome to get here. And it was literally a client of mine who decided to quit her job a year ago and move to France that I was like, wait a minute, if she can do it, I can do it. It's like, we need these inspirers around us. We need people to elevate us, to evolve us, to empower us. And I think that when you see yourself as the leader, not the one who's missing out or the one who doesn't fit in. You're the freaking leader. You're the role model. You're the inspirer. Nobody likes to drink in their soul level, right? Yeah. Like if you're really being honest with ourselves, especially if we're being honest how we feel the next day, right? Most people wish they weren't drinking or at least a lot less. And you know, if you embody, I think that spirit, you'll find this inner confidence coming to you and also an inner, you know, closeness with your friends because your honesty is prompting their own honesty too.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think that, you know, you're right. You know, I'm sure that you, like me, you find that clients initially when they're first, you know, so many people, when they're first stopping drinking, it's what they're really afraid of. They're afraid that they won't be accepted, that it, with this new identity, you know, they won't be accepted into the social situation or people will call them boring. You know, I mean, that's just hilarious because we know it's drunk people who are boring, but people do get really, really concerned about this. And yet, actually, you're absolutely right. Once they go for it, what tends to happen is other people are impressed. And, you know, it's that thing of, I want what she's having, right? Because, you know, when we start to kind of shine our light, you know, and spread the little ripples, it really does have that wonderful effect of radiating the light onto other people. I love that. And it makes you feel, you know, I mean, one woman that I've mentioned in my kind of accountability group, she was really suffering from this. And she felt that she had been excluded in her work situation because she was drinking. She wasn't drinking and everybody else was. She genuinely felt excluded. And then it was a week or so later that her boss actually took her aside and asked her to have a word with someone else because he was so impressed at what she was doing. So perhaps sometimes you don't even know the impact you've had.
Oh, I love that. Exactly. And I think like, that's how we're going to change this culture. You know, like we didn't all just like randomly stumble upon alcohol in our lives. It was literally conditioned and programmed and pushed on us when we were teenagers. It is the fabric of our cultural institutions. It is literally the way things are. And we're not going to change that unless we are the ones willing to be the change. And it can be these little micro ripple effects that we're making in our workplace, in our friend group, you know, you and I on our podcasts, like these things matter and they're literally changing culture. And I like to think that like the generations that grow up, our children will inherit a different culture than the ones that we grew up in. And how magical is that? And if we're not willing to do this work, like we have to think about our kids too, and really see that this is so much bigger than what Joe Schmo thinks about me or what this person has a hang up about. Like, this is bigger. This is really stepping into leadership.
Absolutely. And what about for you then? You're in Europe at the moment. What are you finding where you live? What's the kind of scene? Because I've not really connected with anyone recently, perhaps someone in the States, but I've not really connected with anyone in Europe. What's the situation in terms of, you know, young people drinking, in terms of the availability of great alcohol-free drinks? What's it like?
Well, I'm in Poland right now personally, and I think everywhere I go in Europe, I'm always really surprised at how many alcohol-free beverages there are.
It's really changing, isn't it?
It is. Like here in Poland, you can't drive after one drink. In the United States, you can have like three drinks and drive. And
oh, really? I didn't know that.
It's a total normal thing that people drink and drive, like not inebriated, right? But just like, yeah, you're allowed to have a few. Not here, right? You can't have zero. So alcohol-free beers, like Radlers, mocktails, different, you know, drinks are so normal. And like, I've even been to a wedding here in Poland and they had alcohol-free wine for the guests. Like it just isn't a big deal. You know what
That's
I mean?
Brilliant. That's brilliant.
I love that inclusion. And I love that, you know, that culture here, that it's okay. You know, obviously there are some groups that like going out on a Friday or Saturday night is still like the thing to do. And obviously I challenge that anyone can continue doing anything like that, as long as they find, you know, alcohol-free beverages that they love and they're still hanging out with people that they love. But I was talking with a young woman here and I told her what I did. And she was like, wow, that is exactly what I need. And, you know, she didn't relate to over drinking or having a problem with alcohol, but she was just like, that's the one thing that like stops me from making progress in my life is when my friends invite me out and it just sucks up the 4 or 5 days of, you know, feeling blah. And she's like, I wish that would change. I wish I could do something different. And I've had a lot of young people tell me that, people who are in universities, people who are saying like, they have the astuteness to recognize this is the one thing that holds me back. And I feel like I have to do it. And I think that that's like what you and I and all of your clients and everyone who's just embodying this new identity, it's giving other people permission to say, why does it have to be like that? Right.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going against that conditioning, isn't it? Because, you know, as you said, most people actually, certainly they don't want to feel terrible. They don't actually really want to drink. It's that sort of desperation that you just get caught in, stuck in that rut. And let's face it, you know, none of the advertising shows people at the end of the night, right? We only get to see the glamorous pictures of somebody chinking a glass or, you know, the birthday card images. We never get to see the images of the detritus that follows, do we?
Right.
Tell us a bit about the book then, what you were hoping for, you know, what you hope readers will get from it, and what a little bit about the idea behind it.
Yeah. So, I mean, Euphoric is the name of my book, my brand, my company, and it's literally the word that I would use to describe what it's like to be alcohol free. And I really wanted to write a book that really targeted people who were, you know, didn't necessarily attach a label or an identity that I'm over drinking or this is a problem, like a really approachable book for anyone on any spectrum to just have a curious reexamination of alcohol. And it's really divided into three different parts about the body, the mind, and the soul, and really taking from that perspective, what happens when you take a break from alcohol? So it's really just this juicy book about the benefits, the the opportunities, the way it connects deeper with your spirituality, your intuition, your creativity. And then the last part is a 8-week guide to really help someone take a break from alcohol and commit. And the thing that I really enjoyed about writing this book is that, I'll tell you the truth, I could care less about what people drink at the end of the day. Mm. I could care less about alcohol. You know, like, it's really not about alcohol to me at the end of the day. I think, though, that alcohol is the biggest metaphor for how we stay stuck in our lives.
Yeah.
And it's when you remove the alcohol, what I'm really obsessed with is the space that's left behind, the Definitely. Space that can now be filled with your greater passion and your purpose. And in the book, towards the end, you know, the 8-week guide really starts guiding someone to uncover, like, what are their deeper passions? If they could do anything, what would they do? If money wasn't an issue, how would they spend their time on this planet? You know, we forget, but it's not going to be that long that we're all going to be dust. It's not going to be that long that we'll all be dead, right?
Yeah.
And we go through thinking our lives have to be so realistic and so logical and so, you know, we're so constrained by these figurative, you know, limitations that we don't actually live our desires. And why are we drinking in the first place? Because we're unfulfilled with the lives that we have, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the deeper mm-hmm. soulful message. And so that's what I'm really passionate about. I've had so many women I've worked with that have gone on to write their own books.
Yeah, me too. Isn't it amazing?
It is, right? Or to launch their own businesses or to start making a difference in their communities. And that's what gets me so riled up about this movement. It's not about really the removing the alcohol, although that's the alchemy, that's the secret sauce. It's literally what you can do because of it. And I really think that anyone who's intrigued in this work and just questioning the relationship with alcohol, I actually think that makes you one of the most intuitive and wisest people on this planet, because I think you're getting called. I think you're getting called to something bigger with your life. And I think that not everyone is called, and, or, you know what, maybe everyone is called, but not everyone.
Not everyone hears it, do they? That's the
right?
thing, isn't
Some
it?
Some people just shove that under the rug.
Well, sometimes I think people are, you know, I did some really interesting work around our kind of personality types, our preferences, you know, as we call it in NLP, our map of the world. And so many people are at heart people pleasers, effectively. That's not the word we use, but they are. They're obligers. They want to help others. And sometimes we carry that a bit too far, because we want to help others so much that we're so concerned of how other people are going to feel and making things okay for other people. I've actually had people say to me, I'm going to see my, you know, elderly father, and we always, you know, have a glass of whiskey or whatever together. So, you know, for him, I've got to drink. You know, well, how about changing what's in the glass on account of it's not his mouth, yours is going into, as it were. So, you know, we just become, because we are such people pleasers, well, sometimes we end up drinking for others.
I know. And, you know, like, in that same exact story, like, is it the law career you also got into because you thought it would make your father proud? You know, like, how, to what extent is that desire to make someone feel like they're validating you or proving you or loving you? How much is that actually running your life?
Yeah, totally. Oh, I love it. It's so great to chat to you, Carolina. And, you know, I love the name. That euphoric is how I feel, you know, about all of this, as you know. So fantastic, amazing work that you're doing. So just tell us where people can get the book and find more about your work.
Also, you can get the book at www.euphoricbook.com, and you will find, whether you're in the United States or the UK or Australia or wherever you live, you'll find the appropriate version for you. So that did come out in the UK, which was really fun. And it's going to be published in Poland in Polish. So that's
amazing.
I know, that's not out yet. That's my heritage. So it just makes me feel so proud to have that book there. But like I said, euphoricbook.com. And if you go on Amazon or any retailer, just type in euphoric and you should be able to find it as well. And, you know, I really wrote this book as a love song to help people not only see alcohol differently and really get high on the alcohol-free lifestyle, but really to answer those deeper questions about what do I really want most? Yeah. Definitely. Not what do I want now in the immediate gratification kind of way. What do I want most?
Yeah, I love it. If you're coming to the UK, Carolina, let me know. We should do something together. Let's do an event. That'd be great fun.
That would be so wonderful.
Cool. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All the best. Bye.
Thank you so much for being my guest. And the link to the book is in the show notes, as always. And please also check out our various events. There's some links in the show notes. The next thing that we're doing is Family Constellations, which is on the 17th of July. I know it's hard to explain. I'm very happy to have a chat with you, or, you know, we can talk on Messenger or something. Just drop me a message if you're interested, but you just, you know, you're kind of curious, but you just want a bit more information. It's a fabulous day, and we keep it pretty low cost, I think. So, you know, you can absolutely sort of try it out. And most people leave just amazed and a bit kind of shell-shocked, really, that the work is just so incredible, and they had such a profound shift, you know, and just felt so amazing. So it's Friday, 17th of July. It's in Hertfordshire, train journey about 25 minutes from Euston. We'll have a really lovely day, and it will be a small group. So if you can make it, it would be great to have a few more people come along to that. I know it's difficult, it's holiday time, but message me if you're interested in that. Have a look at soberclub.com, click on events. We've got a new date as well for Sober by the Sea. Deb's mentioned just how Sober by the Sea was so transformational for her, just really helped her completely shift her mindset and focus on positivity. So if you can come along to that, it's in Southend on Saturday the 20th of August. So August 20th for Sober by the Sea. And then, as I mentioned earlier, I am doing another Sober Coach training at the end of September, last day of September into October, are in-person days, and that's followed by some online training, and you become part of our community and our kind of Sober Coach family moving forward. So if you're interested in that, we'll have a conversation to see if that's right for you. If you don't live in the UK, it's also possible to do the training. Obviously, you won't be doing the in-person bit in person, but we can work something out. Already got somebody doing the training who's based in the States. So you won't be alone if you're interested in that. So anyways, I appreciate that's not for everyone, but drop me a message if it's for you. And yeah, have yourself a fantastic week. See if you can allow some of the positivity of this podcast to carry you through. You know, if you are having a tough time at the moment, you know, of course, reach out for help. You know, I am very conscious that I do this Pollyanna thing, and I, you know, talk about the excitement and the joy of everything. And I completely get that there are people really struggling. So always reach out. You've got to be able to just ask for help, because it will be there for you. There will be some help out there to you know, to raise you up, and just keep your eye on the prize, as the saying goes. It really is getting over that initial tough stage and then just keep playing the tape forward. And if you've been sober for years, again, maybe it's time to focus on something new that you want in your life, you know, something else you want to bring forward to help you feel even more joyful, and you know, to help you kind of live your purpose, as we were talking about on that interview. I think it's I just think it's amazing when we get to see what comes about through ditching the booze, because there's no doubt about it, drinking absolutely keeps us small, keeps us really kind of tiny and contained and fearful. And why would we want that, right? So I will see you same time next week. You know where to find me, at Jane Lee Grace on all the various socials. If you want to join us in the Sober Club, you would be so welcome. The connection, as you can just hear from those two social media posts, are just it's just an amazing, wonderful, non-judgmental group, totally supportive. So check it out. It's very low cost, thesoberclub.com. And click on events if you want to come and meet us on one of our various events that we run, or register your interest for something in the future. I'll see you same time next week. Have a great week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.